Hey, Truth Seekers, good evening. It is Friday night. It's about 7 past the hour. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is the Mike Malloy program on Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for being here. Tomorrow is 7-7-07, and that's the date. And it's my understanding that all sorts of people who are freaked out about numbers, in a good sense or a bad sense, are just planning all kinds of things. One good thing tomorrow is the... actually, it begins... Within about an hour, I think, the Live Earth 24-hour, 7-continent series of concert events that has been put together by Kevin Wall, who I believe was the man who put together Live Aid, the Live Aid concerts. I'm sure that Hannity and Limbaugh and the rest of these right-wing thugs probably made some negative comments about this whole idea. Maybe they did. Maybe they just ignored it, which would probably be a good thing. But it's going to bring together more than 100 music artists and 2 billion people to at least make folks aware of the climate crisis that we're facing. This is not something where you're asked to contribute. This is something where you're asked to become aware and to do something. We talked about this last night, whether it's growing some of your own produce, whether it's replacing your light bulbs, the filament light bulbs with these, what are the circular ones, Kathy, we have all through the house now. What the hell are they called? No, they're not halogen. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Just, you know, that sort of stuff. Setting the temperature control on your home water tank down 20 degrees. I mean, this is this profligate wasting of energy that I've been doing all of my life has got to stop. Now, we're trying, and I like this idea that it's not some great, big, impossible thing to do, and organizing and meetings and send in $100 and yada, 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 yada. No, 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 no. It's not that. You can go to their website, liveearth.org, liveearth.org, and there's all sorts of information. But this may be a seminal moment in human history, and I mean that. I don't know how else to put it. Sure, it's 100 rock stars and rap artists and country western and all sorts of different artists getting together to perform this 7-continent series of concert events. That in itself makes it unique. I believe this is the first time anything like this has ever been done, but the whole purpose is to raise my awareness, your awareness of how serious this is. Please don't, not the people that listen to this program do this, but nobody should listen to these negative, comments about that. There's nothing that can be done because there's no problem. We can't keep doing this. We really can't. Anyway, here in the United States, the concerts will be at Giant Stadium in New York, and it's my understanding it'll be Wembley Stadium in London, Aussie Stadium in Sydney, which is the first one to kick off. In Rio, it's Copacabana Beach. Johannesburg, it's the Coca-Cola Dome. In Tokyo, Makuhari Messe. And in Shanghai, the Oriental Pearl Tower. In Hamburg, Germany, HSA Nordbank Arena. And the press release says, Live Earth marks the beginning of a multi-year campaign led by the Alliance for Climate Protection in the U.S., the Climate Group, and Stop Climate Chaos in the UK and other international organizations to drive individuals, corporates, and governments to take immediate action to solve the climate crisis. And of course, former Vice President Al Gore is the chair of the Alliance for Climate Protection in this country and a partner of Live Earth. So it's going to be carried live on MSN on your computer. So if you have some time this weekend, you might want to check this out. I know we are going to. It starts here in about, what does it start, 10 o'clock Eastern time, which is tomorrow morning. Maybe one of our listeners in Australia can clue us in as to when this is going to start. And remember that headonradionetwork.com has an Australian component. So I would imagine that Head On is also going to be, I don't know, I haven't gotten any notice from Bob Kincaid or anybody at Head On, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were carrying some of this live. So just a heads up, tomorrow is 7707, and that happens once every, what, 100 years? Yeah, once, hello, once every 100 years, so... if you want all the information, and I know most of you are way ahead of me on this, we just haven't mentioned it. It's liveearth.org. Check it out. Here in Georgia today, here in Atlanta, there was a notice that a snack food that is sold in health food stores. What's it called? What booty, Kathy? Pirate booty? Is that what it's called? I don't think it says pirate. Veggie booty. Veggie booty. It's made out of kale and seaweed and spinach, and it's supposed to be, you know, pretty good stuff. It has been pulled from the shelves because the spices, a spice glaze that is shot over this product, which is produced in China, has been found to be contaminated with E. coli of a type that is particularly egregious. Now, they had one instance of a child here in the Atlanta area who was made ill by this, and apparently the kid has recovered. So now it's on the glaze that's put on health food, on stuff that's sold in health stores. But when Kathy and I were talking about this today, the question came up, why is all this stuff about China and the threat China is with its exports to our health, our lives? Why is it coming up now? Think about it. The Chinese exporters did not start with poisoned wheat gluten that went into pet food. The Chinese, if anything, I would assume the Chinese manufacturers, no matter what they've been manufacturing, whether it's toys or food additives or whatever, have been probably getting a little bit more aware of what they have to do to continue to compete in the global marketplace. So I make the assumption that things have gotten, quote, better, close quote, as far as all this garbage is concerned, which raises two questions for me. First, why were we not told about this 5 years ago or 3 years ago? Or 7 months ago? That's A. B, why is it becoming such a huge issue? I'd like to know what PR firm in the United States is driving this. And because I do not trust any government report as long as the Bush crime family is in power. Nothing. I trust nothing. There is always an ulterior motive. I don't care what the agency is. I don't care what the report is. There is always, that is a given with the Bush crime family. There is an ulterior motive, no matter what they report. So I wonder what it is. Who did Cheney decide that maybe the Chinese were putting too much pressure on our T-notes or not buying enough? So he decided to call up his friends at whatever PR firm is handling this. Probably, possibly the same PR firms that are going to be convincing Americans over the next 6, 7, 8 months, year and a half, that, oh, by God, we don't want health care in this country. We don't want it. We don't want single payer coverage. No, no, no. It's communism. You stand in line for 8 months waiting to have your tonsils removed. You know, that firm, that PR firm is possibly, you suppose, the one that's telling us all the bad things about China.
We are a rock revolving around a golden sun. We are a billion children rolled into one. when I hear about the hole in the sky. Salt water wells in my eyes. We climb the highest mountain. We'll make the desert bloom. We're so ingenious we can walk on.
The globe is warming.
Perhaps this final act was meant to clinch a lifetime's argument. Nothing comes from violence, nothing ever could. For all I was born beneath that angry star. Lest we forget how
21 past the hour. I have a correction here. Ron wants me to know that the veggie booty recall was due to salmonella, not E. coli. Thanks, Ron. And also, we got an email from one of our listeners in Australia, who Kangaroo Down Under. He writes, Live Earth starting 5 p.m. Australia time. Does anyone know what that would be? That'd be 5 p.m. It's already the 7th, given the international dateline, in Australia. So 5 p.m. I don't know. I'm just curious. I could probably look it up on the internet, but maybe one of you will email me, and maybe not. Have you heard about this is not necessarily new. News, I think it's probably at least 24 hours old. I got this from Daily Kos. Reagan's National Security Agency chief, General, he's a retired three-star Army General William Odom. He served under Ronald Reagan as the chief of the National Security Agency from 1985 through 1988, 4 years. He says it's time to impeach George W. Bush. Writing for Harvard University's Nieman Watchdog, Odom called for the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq. He's done that before, so that's not the news. Here's the news. He also delivers a three-step plan by which Congress can force Bush to give in. Here's a summation of what Odom wrote, or what he said. Redefine what supporting the troops really means. Flatly refused to appropriate war funds, quote, for anything but withdrawal operations with a clear deadline for completing that withdrawal, end quote. He goes on to say if that doesn't work, then Congress should impeach Bush for the high crime, quote, the high crime of squandering the lives of soldiers and Marines for his own personal interest, end quote. Wow. Now, he doesn't pull any punches in this article with regard to the congressional Democrats. He even begins by rebuking them for allowing this freak president to beat them, quote, into submission with charges of failing to support the troops, end quote. That's the reason he wants to redefine what supporting the troops really means. And then the writer at Daily Kos, the Angry Rakusan, the angry Rakusan, his diary. Maybe people are beginning to see that our military is, as Odom puts it, combat exhausted to the point of losing effectiveness. And maybe people are finally starting to realize that the person responsible for doing such a thing is actually aiding the enemy. And that it's become a national security issue. You can call it incompetence, you can call it treason, but either way, destroying the United States military is most assuredly a high crime against the people of the United States. Yeah, I would think. So, retired three-star general William Odom says it's time to remove this bastard, to get him out of office, to get rid of him, kick him to the curb, and that P pig that really runs the government, Dick Cheney. Oh, my God. I wonder how the right-wing nutballs are going to spin this. Well, see, they'll just ignore it. They won't mention that the head of Ronald Reagan's National Security Agency is saying, get this guy out. Get this guy out now. Impeach him. Remove him. I may be wrong. Maybe Limbaugh will devote an entire program to it, you think? Huh? Okay, apparently a live Earth has begun. You can watch it. Go to MSN.com if you want to and start watching the video as I am doing right now. It is an important event. I hope people will spend a little time with it. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us, and we'll get your phone calls here. Those of you who are calling in about Live Earth, we'll talk just a moment. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
You'll always say no.
From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. Okay, let's do some phone calls here about Live Earth. A couple of you want to talk about Live Earth. Dave is calling from Buffalo, New York, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Dave.
Well, Mike. Hey, Live Earth is on Channel 38 on Sirius. They're devoting like 15 different channels to it. So,
oh, okay.
It should be pretty interesting.
Channel 38.
It starts at 11. Okay. At least they'll be carrying it live from that point forward. So,
okay, sounds great.
Yeah, and the a little something about that, though. I'd like to offer something that I'm doing, and that's calling it Our Earth. And it's no longer Mother's Earth or Mother's we have to take back the language, and we have to put it in our backyard.
Yeah.
Mother's Earth means Mother will take care of it. Mother can't do it anymore. She needs our help. And so what I'm offering you is that we need to take back our planet. We need to make it our Earth. And by bringing it home, by putting it in our backyard, it makes it more personal than Mother's Earth. That Mother's Earth is somebody else will do it. It's our Earth. We need to take care of it. Mother needs our help. We need to help her now.
That's so good. Yeah.
I'd say we need to take care of it. One way I can offer you to help, drink hemp milk. Save a cow. Why we don't really need them. We'll drink hemp milk. And we'll be better off. It tastes better than soy milk. I'm not saying it's the best, but it definitely beats soy milk.
All right. Good ideas. And I think, Dave, thanks. I appreciate it. I think that's what the Live Earth concert is all about. It's not huge, big, massive attempts to solve this problem in one grand effort, because that is literally, as far as I understand the science, an utter impossibility. We didn't get here with one grand swoop of destabilizing the environment. It took a couple of hundred years. So Jeff is calling from San Diego, listening on KLSD. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going? In your opening, you were asking about what Fox News was doing about all this.
Yeah.
What I've heard is John Gibson's having a hissy fit, saying that this whole concert is one big campaign commercial for Al Gore, and he's crying out for equal time. He wants the fairness doctrine back. Because you know this is just too much coverage for the Al Gore campaign, even though he's not running for anything.
I wish John Gibson would step in front of a bus. I swear to God I do. Oh, what a waste of human DNA.
And one other quick thought for you. I'm wondering, do you think maybe the impeachment of Cheney and Bush, as much as it's needed, might give Bush the catastrophic emergency necessary to activate those directives that he signed?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, when you have someone like a retired 3-star Republican Army general who served as Ronald Reagan's chief of staff, calling for Bush's impeachment, something is happening below the surface that you and I are not aware of yet. And you know what, I'll be curious. I just wonder, the next time these dwarves get up on stage, these misshapen Republican contenders for the office of the presidency, I wonder if Wolf Blitzer or whomever interviews them will ask them, what's your take on General William Odom's statement about Bush being impeached? I would love to see what these sons of bitches answer, and I'll tell you why. Because all of them invoke the name of Reagan. Reagan is God. Reagan is the son of God. Reagan is the mother of God. So I hope that somebody will ask the question of these right wingers. Wouldn't that be fun?
It would be.
I hear you. Jeff, thanks, man.
Right. Sure thing.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. Take care. One in five Americans believes the sun revolves around the earth. Did you know that? I was reading a blog here today, 8ballmagazine.com. 8ballmagazine.com. I don't have the writer's name here. I should. But he's writing how for the Democrat, and we know this, but it's nice to see somebody writing about it, too, for the Democratic process to run properly. You've got to have voters who have some knowledge of how the process works and what we're voting on, right? That's why it makes me just want to throw up blood when I think about these right-wing churches who tell their I don't know what they are, slugs, ants, these people who think they're worshiping some deity to go vote a certain way or they'll be condemned to hell or whatever. I mean, probably not issued, the order is not issued that directly, but that's the subtext. You know, vote against Al Gore. Al Gore will bring whores into the church, or whatever they say. I don't even know anymore. But so many people who vote in this country don't have a clue as to what they're voting on. The writer says, if you're going to vote on something like stem cell research, shouldn't you at least know what it is, what a cell is? He goes on to say, the question is, how can Americans vote on such things as global warming, stem cell research, cloning, what have you, when basic scientific fundamental concepts fly right over their heads? He quotes something, John Miller, political scientist who directs the Center for Biomedical Communications at Northwestern University Medical School in Chicago. John Miller wrote, American adults in general do not understand what molecules are, other than that they are really small. Fewer than a third can identify DNA as a key to heredity. Only about 10% know what radiation is. One adult American in five thinks the sun revolves around the earth, an idea science abandoned in the 17th century. Ah, So there's a reason why some of these nutballs are fighting so hard to get creationism taught in the public schools alongside evolution as a,
well, let's hear the argument from the other side. That's, you know, there's science and reason and logic on one side. Let's have the other side with spooks and ghosts and haints and things that float around way up in the sky and make it rain or not rain. Let's, you know. How many people on this planet, and it's not just Christian fundamentalists, these Muslim fundamentalists to me are really so far just packed up in their own minds. I mean, just how do these people think? When did Islam stop being a religion that promoted science and astronomy and math and medicine? You know, when Northern Europeans, when we were still in the Stone Age, well, not the Stone, but the Bronze Age, Arabs were keeping science alive. When we were in the Dark Ages in Europe, we being white people, being Northern Europeans, who kept it going? Who kept science and medicine and a critical thought going? Arab scholars, Arab mathematicians, Arab philosophers, Arab artists. What in the hell happened to you people? What happened to you people? Dear God! Or Allah, or what? Oh my, oh! So these religious fundamentalists, these leaders in Christianity and Islam, I can't find a counterpart in Judaism, and I don't know that much about Hinduism. And the Buddhists just close their ears to this garbage. But these other religious leaders are dictating to how many billions of people on this planet basic, fundamental untruths, lies, mythology, booger bears, haints, things that crawl around under the surface of the earth and things that fly through the sky and go blow yourself up and go immediately to paradise and talking snakes and Adam beget Eve. My God, will you people stop it? Stop it! They don't understand basic scientific concepts. If you could just shift a little bit. If you want to believe all this religious nonsense, can't you do it in your own homes? Do the women in these primitive societies have to walk around in a burlap bag? Does that get you closer to your God? My God, charcoal grill covers, that's what they look like they're walking around in. Does that make you holy? And the Christians, I mean, throwing yourself against the science and all right, calm down. Does Jesus love you more when you insist that the planet, the universe, creation is only 7,000 years old? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Any collective approach is one based upon sound science and not based upon science.
I got this email from our North Atlanta Metro correspondent, Sharon, who sends us a lot of good stuff. Sharon has been contributing in her way to this program for, oh my God, 20 years. Goes all the way back to WSB, Kathy. She writes, you were asking last night about what to do. I wish I knew. Every day I think about calling, writing, emailing those two sorry sacks of crap that we have for senators here in the state of Georgia. They have their heads so far up Bush's backside that they are never going to see daylight again. I've written several letters to Senator Chambliss on the issue of torture. No matter what I say, I still get the same old form letter telling me that the U.S. does not torture and the prisoners at Gitmo want to murder us. Due to redistricting, John Lewis is no longer my congressman. Now my representative is Tom Price, a white boy Republican. I feel that I'm completely without representation. Wes Clark Jr. is General Wesley Clark's son. He looks a lot like his dad, although he's taller, and his voice sounds remarkably like his dad's. Although he didn't make it a career, he did serve in the Army in the 90s. He's very smart. His political views are very much like his father's, and he's well-informed on the issues, just like his dad. But in personality, he's very different. Wes Jr. is very cynical and angry, kind of like me and you. He is very vocal in his criticism of cowardly Democrats. He despises the Bush Bunch and seems particularly bothered about the torture. He sits in on the Young Turks show when one or more of the regular hosts are out, and he occasionally blogs at Daily Kos. He was on the air the morning of July 3rd after Scooter skated. Later that day, he wrote the following. Had enough? By Wes Clark Jr. Enough of seeing the Constitution trashed? Enough of the corruption, enough of the war, enough of the gutless response of our elected Democratic representatives? I don't think our representatives read our email or listen to our phone calls. Hell, they didn't even listen to the 2006 election in which we told them to stop the war. Scooter Libby is the last straw, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I've had enough. Cenk Uygur, that's one of the Young Turks, and I were talking this morning about what to do. We've decided it's time to tell America we've had enough. We'll be standing outside the federal building in West L.A. at the corner of Veteran and Wilshire for 1 hour this Sunday, day after tomorrow. If you'd like to join us, just wear a T-shirt or bring a sign that says you've had enough. If you're not in L.A., just go to whatever the most common protest site is in your home city with a shirt or a sign that says you've had enough from noon to 1 p.m. this Sunday. You don't have to march or chant or play drums or pass out pamphlets or build puppets. Not that we're against those things. All you have to do is stand there with one word. Enough. Cenk and I don't care if we're the only two people there. We don't care because the next Sunday, each of us has pledged to bring two more people with us, and we'll ask them to make the same pledge. And we'll keep standing out there every single Sunday, doubling our numbers from now until we've got so many people with us that we cannot be ignored. So how about it? Have you had enough? Will you stand with us? Well, there you go. Isn't this what we were talking about a week or two ago? You don't have to do anything. As a matter of fact, do nothing. We've got to bring this to an end. I understand nobody wants to demonstrate. And when my friend Gary Gordon was here, we came to the conclusion that demonstrating is useless. These mass demonstrations, forget about it. It's a waste of time and energy, and it generates an awful lot of carbon crap. So what do? Wes Clark Jr. and Cenk Uygur have an idea. I've got a bunch of old black T-shirts around here, and I'm going to get one and paint it on the front and the back with just one word, enough. And tomorrow, when Kathy and I and the kid go out and run our errands and do our chores, I am going to wear that T-shirt. And at some point tomorrow, I don't know where I'm going to go, Kathy, maybe downtown to the state capitol building, all by myself. And I'm going to stand there with this T-shirt on. And it's going to say enough. And that's all it's going to say. What are you going to do? Truth Seeker. Thanks, Sharon. I am so frustrated. Ah! This is from WorldNetDaily.com, of all sources. A new poll found that nearly half of the American public favors impeaching Bush. The private American research group survey indicated 45% want the president impeached, while 54% want the House to launch impeachment proceedings against Dick Cheney. The poll indicated
that 69% of Democrats favored impeaching Bush, while just 13% of Republicans showed support. Among independents, 33% wanted to impeach Bush. You talk about a divide in this country. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's almost insurmountable, isn't it? If I were a Republican, I think at this point I would just cut my own throat. I swear to God, they are stupid. They are ignorant. They are inward-looking. 13%, that's all, that thinks this criminal should be removed from office, peacefully and legally. Uh, 1,100 respondents in this poll, 933 of them, according to American Research Group, were registered voters. Now, with a simple majority vote, the House can impeach presidents and vice presidents for treason, bribery, other high crimes and misdemeanors. And, of course, then they need to remove these pigs from office. It requires two-thirds majority in the Senate. And another American Research Group survey showed that 65% of Americans disapprove of the decision to pay for Louis Libby's silence by commuting his 30-month prison sentence. Huh? 45% say impeach the bastard. 70% of Democrats. Miss Pelosi, Mr. Reed, Mr. Pelosi, or Miss Pelosi, Mr. Reed, hello? Anybody home? What does it take to get your attention? Past the hour. Well, one of our listeners took the time to send this to me, so I want to share it with you. When I was talking about the fundamentalists in Christianity and Islam, who I think are all insane, and I said I don't know what the Jewish fundamentalist or Orthodox point of view is, so here it is. All Orthodox and many conservative Jewish elementary and high schools whose students I have tutored either black out or rip out chapters on evolution in their textbooks. The books are standard texts and are used because they're supplied at taxpayer expense to all parochial schools in New York City by the Department of Education. Here's a snip from the Jewish Virtual Library at jewishvirtuallibrary.org. What it says here, some of Orthodox Judaism offers significant resistance to the idea of evolution, with many Orthodox rabbis developing rejections of evolution that exactly parallel the rejections in the Christian community. Orthodox Jews who reject evolution held that the scientists were mistaken, were heretics, or were being deliberately misled by God. As recently as 2005, Rabbi Nathan Slifkin, popularly known as the Zoo Rabbi for his writings about animals and Jewish thought, had his books about animals and evolution banned. And there's more here. I would think that all religions who follow the book, so to speak, would share that bias against natural selection. I don't know that evolution is the right term. Is it kind of more natural selection? A mutation. I'm sorry, did I wake you up? All right. A couple more items here, and then to your phone calls. Oh, the number here is 800-989-1480. I'll tell you what, let's jump on some phone calls first, because some of you have got some points here about what we're talking about. Start with Deborah, who is calling from Daly City, California, listening on the Quake. Hey, Deborah, welcome to the program.
Hi. First of all, I'm a devout Christian, and I believe that the planets revolve around the sun.
Well, that's good.
I do. Number two, the thing, I went through the whole 4th of July, and nobody mentioned the Patriot Act. And I think that thing needs to be getting rid of. I don't like it.
Yeah, well, I wish people would mention the Patriot Act. We had a call.
It kind of ruined my 4th of July. I didn't feel like celebrating.
I hear you.
It's the
what
way.
What do you think of this idea from Wes Clark Jr. of just having a T-shirt that says enough or a sign that says enough and just go wherever in your city or your town? I don't know where you all go in Daly City, and just stand there. You don't have to carry a sign or beat a drum or operate a puppet, as Wes said. All you have to do is stand there for an hour with a T-shirt on that says enough. I think I'm going to do it.
Well, you can do that. You can do that. I don't know if it'll do any good.
Well, the idea is this Sunday I do it by myself. Next Sunday I bring a person. The next Sunday both of us bring people. You know, when you take a number and double it and continue to double it, how long? It doesn't take very long before you have an enormous number of, in this case, people. Right?
Yes, but well. Yeah, that is true. That is true. You can do that.
All right. All right. Well, Deborah, thanks. I appreciate your call. And I'm glad you're a Christian who believes that the earth revolves around the sun. I am. I mean that. Tim is calling from San Francisco, listening on the Quake. Hey, Tim, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, my brother. How you been there?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
All right, my bro. All right. Hey, I just wanted to tell you a little about the research I've been doing since last I talked to you, man.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. It's on Zeitgeist, the movie. The 2007 version is an excellent, excellent production. I started promoting this movie earlier this week, and I've already gotten at least 250,000 more people watching it. And the comments I'm getting from people are, yes, it is the best or most important movie ever made. And this is right on up and down the line. Excuse me.
I've had a bunch of people email me and say, have you seen this movie yet? And if you haven't, why not?
Yeah. The second I saw it, I knew that that was the movie I've been looking for all my life. You know, with all the research I've been doing, this is the movie that we can use as the tool to bring them down. I mean, if you Google Zeitgeist movie, you will see like 3, 4, or 5 pages right away with just the movie. So it's like taking off completely. I'm encouraging people just to write a Z anywhere, or Zeitgeist. It's a very interesting word, so people will want to know what it is.
Right.
You know, I'm telling them, blog it everywhere, chat room everywhere. Get this movie out there. In the demonstrations this summer, make sure Zeitgeist is a major presence. Make the people in our government owe up to the embarrassment of this thing. That's what I'm trying to do, is get these people to wake up and say, all right, we give. You know, we're going to give you back. Because now we have the tool and the proof of what's been going on and stuff. Now we can go after them and go for the throat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm getting it out there. I've been putting it all over Craigslist, but now they're starting to flag it. So it's starting to hit them right now. So, I mean, I look at it this way. I'm old enough to where it don't make much difference what they do to me. What I've done already is let the genie out of the bottle, and it's never going to be put back in now.
How are you connected with this?
With the movie?
Yeah, with the film.
I just saw it, and so I emailed the guy, and he let me download it. Well, I was able to download a copy, and he said I can pass it out to people, so I got approval first and stuff. But I just started a campaign of doing this because I saw that, and the second I saw it, I knew it's what I've been looking for all my life.
Well, that's like I said, I've gotten several emails. Now you've really got my curiosity piqued. I'm going to have to take a look at it. Thanks, Tim.
Oh, it's incredible, Mikey. I mean, this is the one that can bring it all down.
All right.
So, everybody, Zeitgeist.
I'll check it out. Thanks,
Tim. Okay, my brother.
All right. Take care. Danny is calling from Maryland, listening via Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Danny. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, I wanted to call. My first point is that you didn't mention the fact that the beginning of the 20th century, the pretext of modern Israel, the creation of modern Israel, was the Bible. They said, oh, it's really our land.
Right.
You know, God said we could have this.
Right.
And then after World War II, it gave them a nice excuse to go reclaim the land. And as you know, Harry Truman basically signed the papers with Britain and whoever in the UN, and Israel was magically created. The modern Israel was created.
Mm-hmm.
So that's as far as religion being infiltrating political society. I think that that would be a great example. Secondly, I was listening to Ed Schultz that broadcast on the Sirius Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a political guy on there, and I actually looked him up. He's not an advisor. He just has a radio show.
Right.
And he was saying that, oh, well, we don't have the right kind of Democrats, and we need to get more of the right kind of Democrats. And these are just Democrats that aren't calling themselves Democrats. And I see this with Air America, that there's this big push like, oh, no. If we have all these, like, super liberal liberals, then we can actually do something. And to me, I don't actually live in Maryland, to be honest with you. I'm Danny in America. I call him the Liz Tamville Show. And but I can never go by Danny in America and anybody else's show. But to me,
why?
Where I live.
Wait. First of all, let's put Danny on hold for a second here, because Danny, I've got a real problem here. I rely on people who call this program to tell the truth, and to tell the truth to my associate producer, call screener, engineer Ian, who takes your call out in Phoenix. So, if you're not a Danny from Maryland or you're Danny from somebody, and you're not honest when you call in, I don't know why people won't put you on the air, but what I'm going to do is delete your call now, because I don't play that way. Okay. I get that a lot from right wingers who are cowards, who are, just afraid of me or afraid of the truth or afraid to, and they use a different name, different city, what have you. So, and I used to have a liberal guy who would call in. He was all over the map. You know, he'd call from Columbus or L.A. or New York. Finally got onto his game, and we just don't take off. So, anyway, when you call back, Danny, and I invite you to call back, give your real name and your real location, all right? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
You got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
Twenty-one past the hour. A couple of emails. Peter in Vermont. Hi, Mike. The other Reaganite, who is obviously advocating impeachment. The other Reaganite, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, Paul Craig Roberts, wrote at Counterpunch January 15th, 07, Bush must go, only impeachment can stop him. That's right. Paul Craig Roberts and General Odom, two form. So I just wonder, when these half-witted Republican monkey boys get up on stage, the ones who would like to be our president, and forget Fred Thompson. Fred Thompson was a sneak, kind of like Reagan, a sneak, a mole, a liar. It was Fred Thompson who warned Tricky Dick's attorney the night before word got out to the American public that there was a, I believe it was the taping system, that everything was available on tape and that Nixon's ass was toast. So that's Fred Thompson for you. What a punk he is. But two Reaganites now, and I wonder if these Republican candidates, when they talk about they want to be like Reagan, Reagan was the greatest thing to happen to this country since, oh God, I don't know who, Flash Gordon. It doesn't really matter. But if that's the case, then do they hold with the idea of the two these two key Reagan appointees that Bush needs to go? Here's an email from Prairie 2. Hey, Mike, the reason the old-fashioned right-wingers with IQs in three digits are getting so nervous is that they're starting to grasp how weak the U.S. has gotten in the past 6 years. Prairie 2 is referring to these Reaganites. We are down to one steelmaker in the U.S. capable of making ballistic armor. All of our high-tech weapons require imported parts. All chucklenuts would have to do to create total chaos here is to provoke a crisis with Red China. Oil imports here have gone from 50% to 70%. If China dumps the cash that they have in reserve onto the currency market, we are toast. No oil, no manufactured goods. We don't grow enough food unless you want to eat cornmeal. Of course, after the first winter, we won't need nearly as much food. But Chucklenuts is going to China next Thursday, isn't he? Check on his investments there, I guess. Back to your phone calls. Robert is calling from Daly City, California, also listening on the Quake. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
You know, this. I wanted to talk about this live Earth thing.
Sure.
There are a lot of factors involved in global warming that I'm concerned people may not be taking into consideration. And I sure as hell don't want to get all hung up with Al Gore's Save the Planet if there are issues that haven't really been considered, like, for instance, hemp production or vegetarianism or algae production as a substitute for protein or a whole bunch of other issues that we may need. I mean, we burn to produce electricity in generators and things like this or in our engines.
Well, if I could interrupt, Robert, I think that's what this concert is about. It's to raise awareness about the very issues you're talking about. It doesn't take some massive event to save us from global heating. What it takes is all these little events like what you're talking about to turn things around.
One engine in one bus carries 70 people, right? That's the pollution of one vehicle, 70 people in one bus versus a car, one person in a car. I mean, this stuff is so simple, it's ridiculous. My concern is that the powers that be don't really care because it's a non-issue perhaps. They just want to put controls and austerity upon the people because they're not looking at alternatives that would allow us to have what we need to continue as we have been. I mean, I'm not talking about burning petrochemicals for power, you know, for energy and that kind of thing. But I was just concerned about that. And I also had a couple other things. When people talk about Ronald Reagan, people have to remember somebody tried to kill him. And who was it that tried to kill him?
A Republican.
So whenever they praise Reagan, remember, he's an actor like Fred Thompson. Nixon, Bush, they go back a long, long time. And, it was something else too, but basically people get the drift here. Politics with these guys, it's all about who's in power, and that's all they want. That's all they really want is power because they know they're got guns, oil, and drugs. They maintain power through guns, through oil, and through illicit laundering money on Wall Street.
I totally agree with you. Robert, thank you. I appreciate what you had to say. I hope we talk again. Go to liveearth.org because this is not a top-down effort here. And Robert's absolutely right. There's so many things that we need to be aware of that we can do. We can start doing tomorrow. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Got to get on that shuttle, get me out of this place. But there's going to be warfare up there in outer space. It's been a hard day on the planet. How much is it all worth? It's getting harder to understand it. Things are tough all.
Can't think of anything more logical and more commonsensical than to understand our hemisphere.
Breathe, breathe
liveearth.org this weekend if you're so inclined, if you have time. John in New York City has an answer to my question, what happened to the Muslim world? John writes, hey, Mike, the Muslim world has been brutally colonized by the industrial Western world for four centuries. It's been all downhill for them ever since. In the last 200 years, their rich history has been all but obliterated and erased. They are a culture in headlong, desperate retreat, and the most angry resistors are the most visible. Unfortunately, religious and cultural self-defense is ugly and bloody. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I think that's well put, John. It's just that, again, my opinion of fundamental religion is that it is the single most destructive anti-human force ever devised to keep people in bondage, in servitude, to make them insane, to fill them with fear and loathing, and to make them go kill as soon as the priest or the rabbi or the imam says, go kill. So as far as I'm concerned, religion sucks. All religion sucks. All of it. And I don't consider Wicca to be a religion. Before the November 2006 midterm elections, NBC News political director Chuck Todd predicted several times that if the Democrats won control of Congress and Representative Nancy Pelosi became Speaker of the House, then President Bush's approval rating will be over 50% by the 4th of July in 2007. Well, Bush's approval rating is at 30.5%. The question raised here by the person who sent me this, well, NBC News questioned their political director about his inaccurate prediction. NBC News will not question their political director because NBC News is owned by the single largest manufacturer of weaponry on Earth, General Electric. And as a result of that, General Electric, who owns NBC News, is the single largest purveyor of mechanized death on the planet. And as a result of that, NBC News wants to see as much war as possible in order for the parent corporation to make as much profit as possible. And because of that, NBC News will never, ever, ever hold the Bush crime family accountable for its actions. To do so would be in direct contradiction of its own bottom line, corporate profits, and best interest. Back to your phone calls. Chuck is calling from Tennessee, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Mike, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
All right. I've been driving a truck for 7 years, and I've been listening to the rhetoric over the radio, the CB, talking about Bush and everything and how they think he's the greatest thing on earth. Mm. That rhetoric stopped about a year and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I'm finding a very interesting thing that's happening. About 2 days ago, I was in southern Indiana, and I started bringing up the fact that the Supreme Court had passed a ruling that price fixing was legal.
Yeah, how about that?
And started talking about how they're destroying the country and this and that, and I started talking about how the corporatists are trying to divide America through hatred so that they can conquer the people.
Mm-hmm.
Time-honored traditional method through military. And I went on and on with my spiel, and I was surprised at the number of people who started asking questions.
Really?
Yeah. The tide is turning, Mike. And I want to say this. Our generation can be the generation that saves this country or destroys it.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to us. We've got to act. We've got to be proactive. I strongly suggest that anybody out there who is a trucker, who believes in what he believes and knows his facts, gets on the radio and starts talking to his fellow truckers because they're well-meaning Americans.
Mm-hmm.
They're just ignorant. That's all.
I hear
and you. And the same is true with blue-collar workers everywhere. If you are a Democrat or if you are a free thinker, and I prefer the word free thinker,
mm-hmm.
you are an independent soul who doesn't just absorb whatever someone tells you. You get your opinions right. I'm losing my battery. Talk to your neighbors. Get to know your friends. Okay? Get the word out.
That's a great idea, Chuck. That's a great idea. Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate it. I appreciate what you had to say. That's an excellent idea. And Chuck's, you know, we have an awful lot of over-the-road drivers who listen to this program, always have had, by virtue of the fact that in my entire broadcast career, I've always worked at night when a lot of the air clears. The daytime stations sign off. And now that we have Sirius satellite radio and XM satellite radio also, now that there is satellite radio, you can tune into a program and hear it clear across the country, and that certainly has made a difference. But I'll tell you what, in all those years I've been on the air, 20-some, I have found that, just like Chuck said, you know, truck drivers listen, and, you know, they got lots of hours to listen because they're driving. A lot of, you know, distance to travel and so on and so forth. My experience has always been that truck drivers are not the, hard shell conservatives that a lot of people tried to paint them, as a lot of people tried to paint them. Not at all. In the first place, an awful lot of truck drivers are union members. And the independents are not. I understand that. But, 20 years ago, when I first started out, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, a lot of truckers, and still are, were union members. And that makes a difference. That does make a difference because a union, you know, say what you want, good or bad, about a union, it will educate you on social issues. The union will explain to you why the idea of collective bargaining, why the idea of people, you know, hang together or we're all going to hang separately. Hell, Ben Franklin said that, didn't he? And union members understand that corporations are out for one thing. It's not the welfare of your family. It's not how much is in your pay envelope. It's not whether or not you're going to live long enough to retire. No, 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 no. The corporations that most of us work for are interested in one thing, how they can get the most profit out of your useless ass. And that's how they see you, as useless, worthless. Maybe not useless because they are using you, but worthless, ultimately worthless. You are a throwaway. When the time comes, and so am I, when the time comes to throw us away, they throw us away. Period. So it's been my experience that over-the-road drivers are acutely aware of that. Acutely aware of that. That's a difficult job. You know it as well as I do. It's difficult to do what truckers do. And I think you all also understand that probably, 70%, 80%, I don't know what the number is. I know it's enormous, of the goods and food and everything that we use or everything that we need comes via truckers. So, but I hear what you're saying. Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate your comments. All right, where are we? Amy is calling from San Diego, listening on KLSD. Hey, Amy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I just love your show. And for a while, we didn't have you, and it was so awful. Now you're back, and it's just the greatest thing.
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you about a really disturbing thing that happened in our 4th of July parade. I live in a suburb of San Diego. It's called Coronado. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, my sister-in-law lived there when her husband was in the Navy.
Oh, okay. So you know it's a big military town. And
yes.
Bush's approval rating is, 28%? Well, I think the 28% live in that town. They're conservative.
All live in Coronado, right?
They all live there. They're just ridiculous. Well, we have a Democratic club, and I'm the vice president of it, and we had a an entry in the parade this year, and they always put us near the end. And I was walking to where our entry was going to be, and I walked by the Marines' entry, and it was really disturbing. They had like four guys in a cage with hoods on, and then some other Marines standing around them with rifles.
Oh, my God.
And it was just disgusting. And I don't know what the reaction was of the crowd because I was in the parade and far back, but I would imagine there would have been some cheering coming from this crowd because we normally, our club gets lots of boos. Mm-hmm. If you can imagine, booing people on the 4th of July, you know, we don't do anything political.
Hey, Amy, hold on. Okay. I got a break and I'll hear the rest of this. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour, we're talking to Amy in San Diego. Okay, where were we? We're talking about the 4th of July parade.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, they normally boo it, so I bet you that disgusting thing, I bet it got some cheers. I would not be surprised.
Now, this was a float?
Yes, it was a float.
And it showed Marines guarding orange jumpsuited hooded people in a cage?
Well, they weren't in orange jumpsuits. They were wearing fatigues, but they had black hoods on their heads.
Oh, my God. And that's a parade float? That signifies independence and revolution?
Isn't that disgusting?
Oh, my God,
it's
Amy.
Awful. Yeah, that's these people. It's really ridiculous. And our theme was help our Earth out. So we were on Segways, and we had a Prius, and we had bicycles and walkers. And we were getting booed, not as many as we normally do, but we still get them. You know, it's just astonishing.
It's just astonishing. I can't understand that. All right, Amy, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. The Live Earth concert is on Sundance Channel, according to Old Growth on Democratic Underground. Larry in Oregon, founding member of Nova M, starting at 4 a.m., I guess, this morning. Yeah, 4 a.m. coming up, Eastern Time. Live Earth on Sundance Channel for 22 hours. And Anne writes in about Wicca. Wiccans consider themselves to be a religion. I consider Wicca to be among the world's silly religions. They are all silly, superstitious, and based on nonsense. Why do you give Wiccans a pass? All right, fair question. I guess because I find Wicca to be fun. It's earth-centered. They don't threaten my immortal soul. They don't tell me how I have to live. They don't talk about all the tortures and damnation that is going to befall me if I don't follow a certain credo. They promote life and freedom and liberty and fun. If some of the rituals seem silly, okay, so what? Maybe they were designed to be silly. Maybe they're designed to be fun. But that's why I support Wicca. And it's a fair question, Anne. I'm not saying, you know, how dare you ask it. It's a fair question. I've always found, though, that the Wiccans I have known have been very dedicated to the idea that this is home, Earth, and it should be taken care of, and it should be protected. Almost every Wiccan I know, every Wiccan I know is an environmentalist by definition, so they might have a propensity to drift toward believing in the wee folk and the fairies and elves. So what? What is the difference between that and believing that Jesus fed 10,000 people with six fish? You can make the argument that both are just mythology. Okay. I don't think any Wiccan, no Wiccan I've ever met, looks me in the eye and says, you know, everything I'm telling you is the truth, and if you don't believe, your ass is going to burn for all eternity! Never had that happen, Ann. I enjoy Wiccans. I like their philosophy of life. I like their philosophy of death. I like what they're about. I like the fun they have. And, I just tend to drift that way. Okay? If you think it's silly, that's fair enough. Probably a lot of Wiccans think that what they do is silly and fun and kind of a hoot. Okay, back to your phone calls. Ramona is calling from Hammond, Indiana, listening on the Internet. Hi, Ramona.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
That's great. I got my granddaughter here, Ashley. I told you about her, that we protest the war.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I told you about people yelling things at her and stuff. And
yes.
Yeah, and she wanted to talk to you.
All right, let's put her on. This is
okay.
Ashley. Hey, Ashley. Where's Ashley?
Hello.
Hi, Ashley.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
Fair to partly cloudy. Now, your grandmother told me how old you are, but I forgot.
10.
You're 10.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us a story again about what happened when you were protesting the war.
Oh, you mean that one where the guy cussed me out?
Yeah, don't say the words, but that must have been kind of a shock, right?
Yeah, I didn't even have my sign with me. I was just sitting down tying my shoe, and all of a sudden he's yelling at me.
Oh, God. what kind of an impression does that give you, Ashley, about anything? What did that mean to you?
That means all Bush supporters like that, or just people who are against us, mad are dumb, basically, to me.
Yeah, well, that's they're dumb, but they're also in positions of power where they can really screw things up, don't you think?
Yeah.
What are you in, fifth grade?
Yeah.
How's school going? How are you doing in school?
It's okay.
You doing all right?
Yeah.
Are you a serious student, or are you like most of us in the fifth grade, just kind of like there?
Well, I don't like school, but I'm good at it. I just comes naturally, so it gets boring.
Maybe it's because you're too smart for the curriculum that you're studying. You suppose that might be it?
Maybe. I mean, everybody else does, yeah.
Huh?
Everybody else says, yeah, my grandma's nodding and stuff, so
yeah.
Maybe.
You sound like a very smart kid. Hey, Ashley, we got to go. There's the music. Thanks a lot for talking to me, okay?
Okay.
All right, and we'll talk again.
Okay.
Tell your grandma I said bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, Ashley. Bye.
Bye.
back, about 7 past the hour. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Dean in Connecticut writes, subject line, if I ever have a daughter, I want her to be just like Ashley. I hear you. I hear you, Dean. She sounds like an awesome kid, Dean writes. And then he adds, and if I would ever meet the SOB who cussed her out, they'll be fishing his sorry blank, blank, blank out of the river, screaming obscenities at a 10-year-old. Let's hear it for those family values Republicans. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Dean. All right. Where are we? Let's go back to your calls. The number here is 800-989-1480. Kevin is calling from Maryland, listening via the Internet. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? I just want to make you aware of the Trojan horse that the Republicans are going to have planned for 2008.
Okay.
And that is basically them funding Hillary left and right. Rupert Murdoch is giving so much money to Hillary Clinton, and the reason behind it is they're trying to recreate what happened in Connecticut last year.
And what was that? What's his name? With Lieberman.
Lieberman.
Yeah.
And basically, they are counting on the most divisive Democrat to win the primary, who is, unfortunately, Hillary Clinton. And the thing is, Hillary, like most politicians, after a while, it becomes more about ego than it becomes more about ego than what is right for the party or for the country.
Is that why she is accepting money from Murdoch? Is that why she's all of a sudden discovered Rupert Murdoch is not the smelly bastard that he really is? Well, how do you explain that relationship between Clinton and
Like I said, the Republicans, you know, I must say, one thing about them, they are probably the greatest chess and poker players of all time.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not they know they're going to lose the 2008 election.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd rather lose to somebody they can work with, like a Lieberman type.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what basically happened. They knew that basically what happened in Connecticut is that the Republican candidate wasn't going to win the election, so they went with whoever they could, and they backed Lieberman.
Right.
Why do you think Bush kissed him on the forehead last year?
Right. I thought that was a benediction of some sort. All right. So what should people do about Hillary? Make sure she doesn't get the Democratic Party nomination?
No, absolutely not. Well, and the thing is, what's so sad about it is that it's like, why shouldn't there be a female for the Democratic nomination? Unfortunately, we're in a position that we're going to vote for whoever wins the primary is pretty much going to win.
Say it again. You faded there, Kevin. Say that last sentence again.
We're in a position whoever's going to win the primary, the Democratic primary,
will be president.
Will be president.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think pretty much we're in a situation where the presidency is going to be decided on the primary, which is July of next year. And if you notice, and he's been raising money left and right, is John Edwards, but they kind of underplay him.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. Hillary Clinton gets an awful lot of media focus because of who she is. Barack Obama gets a lot of media focus because of who he is.
And he's
rather than because of their positions. Now, John Edwards, as you point out, John Edwards has very clear-cut positions on some key issues, but he's not getting the coverage because he's not female and he's not
African-American.
Well, you know, I hate to use that term because Obama has an African parent and a white parent.
A black African parent and
a white American parent, and yet he's referred to as African American. I hate that, but that's that filthy one drop rule.
Well, you know, we can't help that. You know,
I know.
Being African American is not about what you are, because I'm tri-racialist, but it's the experience.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear you. I hear you. All right, Kevin, I got to move on. Thank you. I appreciate what you had to say. That makes sense, and I hate Hillary. Even hanging out, even in the same county with this Rupert Murdoch pig. I need to talk to my friend Bart Kopp soon, because Bart Kopp is still supporting Hillary, right? Is he? Don't know. And I think Bart Kopp has the second most important website on the internet. I really do. Edie, Edie is calling from Montgomery, Alabama. Hey, Edie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
How you doing? I know it's a long time, but belated happy birthday.
Thank you.
I almost thought someone would say play Misty for me last week.
Oh, my God.
I called about the corporate takeover of our water. And it has begun. They have 15% of it now. And I'd just like to give you a website and for the listeners.
Sure.
It's called, these people have a book and a movie on a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And just the website alone is just gobs of information. The website is thirstthemovie.org.
Thirstthemovie.org.
.org.
All right.
And, of course, we are the defendersofdemocracy.com.
Right.
And, that's basically what I wanted to, I've talked with Jeff Farias about this, because, uh-huh. you know, they live in there in Satan's Anvil.
Right.
In Arizona. So I have talked to him about it, but you have a bigger audience. Someday, God willing, he will too.
Uh-huh.
The metaphorical God, of course. And that's really what I wanted to say, and have a great weekend.
All right, what's the site again? Give it again.
Okay, thirstthemovie.org.
Thirstthemovie.org. All right, thanks, Edie.
Thank you.
All right, okay. Take care. Yeah, the privatization of water hasn't happened to the degree here that it's happened in other parts of the globe, especially Central and South America. My understanding, anyway. I don't know about the Asian area, Indian subcontinent, or Africa. Don't know, but or Europe for that matter. But the privatization, it's a scarce resource. Clean, drinkable water is becoming more and more scarce. So, of course, global corporatization is going to target water. Why not? Jay is calling from Gresham, Oregon. Jay is listening via the Internet. Jay, welcome to the program. Hey, Jay.
Oh, yes.
Hey.
I have a couple reasons for hating Mr. Bush.
All right.
First one is stem cells. I have Parkinson's. I've had Parkinson's like for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if I sound a little funny, that's what it is.
Okay.
But the most important...
Uh-oh. George, you there?
I took the other phone off the hook in case I did that.
Okay, you're okay. You're there and you're okay, right?
Okay. The reason I'm calling, though, are you familiar with the Wanta settlement?
The what?
The Wanta, the little Wanta settlement?
I don't think so.
Okay. This is something else that's been going on. I've been following very closely since... March of last year of 06.
Uh-huh.
And it consists of, just real quick, a Reagan Commission, an individual who happened to be the Canadian ambassador to Somalia.
Right.
And he commissioned him to bring down the Russian ruble in 1982 or the early 80s.
Uh-huh.
He was successful, and he accumulated for the United States $27.5 trillion, and his settlement that he negotiated with Bush Jr.,
mm-hmm.
two Supreme Court judges, Paulson, the Treasury Secretary,
right,
among a couple other people,
right.
He went into an agreement that he would settle for $4.5 trillion,
mm-hmm.
which is supposed to be deposited into the U.S. Treasury.
Right.
By way of Virginia.
I'll bet it wasn't.
I bet it wasn't, and he has lied, and he has brought, he's lied to China. China is heavily involved in doing an advance.
Well, here's the thing, Jay, and listen, I got to go. Thanks, I appreciate it. Here's the thing. This stuff is going to come back and eat these people alive at some point. You know it. I know it. We all know it. Thanks, Jay. I appreciate what you had to say. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. We'll be right back.
I can smell something cooking. I can tell there's going to be a
worry about anything here in Washington, D.C.
From A.E., Mike, I didn't hear if you mentioned that George W. was speaking to members of the West Virginia National Guard on July 4th. He made reference to the Revolutionary War taking six more years for victory after the Declaration of Independence was signed. He didn't seem to remember that the Revolutionary War was won by people who repelled an invading empire. The invaders weren't the victors. Well, yeah, A.E., but you got to remember, George Bush is a moron, and consequently he thinks the people he talks to are morons. And to a large extent, so many of them are. And this is from Sarah, a founding member, Nova M founding member from North Carolina. She writes, regarding doing nothing except standing and wearing an Enough T-shirt, which is Wesley Clark Jr.'s idea. Sarah writes, my favorite Buddha quote is, do nothing. Time is too precious to waste. Well, I'll say big old Southern Baptist amen to that, Sarah. Back to your calls. George is calling from Denver, listening via the Internet. George, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I would have called you Sunday, but I don't have your home phone number.
That's true. You don't.
Hey, I was a founding member on the very first day before my eyes were even open.
Oh, yeah?
So I was right there.
Well, thank you.
And you were the first person I've ever talked to on the radio.
Oh, my God.
And it happened about 3 days before they slit your throat at Air America for telling the truth.
At Air America, yeah, that was... that was a great experience at Air America.
And then I went back and listened to all your IE stuff, and I mean all of it.
Oh, my God.
To get me through the summer.
Oh, my God.
Hey, one other thing. Did you know that AirTran is value jet?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, I knew that. That's the only airline I fly, is AirTran.
I know that.
Yeah.
And
I know what happened in the Okefenokee.
Okay.
I'll never forget those pictures of that plane about 30 feet underwater and everybody dead. But, because of that, as far as I'm concerned, it is the safest airline there is to fly. And that wasn't pilot error or structural problems. That was because some moron loaded that cargo compartment with stuff that could explode. So, I only fly AirTran now, and you know what I like about it? Their jets are all new, A. B, somehow, I don't know the engineering behind this, and I hope nobody writes me and tells me what it is, because my mind goes blank. But fresh air comes into the cabin, even at 39,000 feet, which is where I spend a lot of time cruising when I'm going around the country. But you get fresh air into the cabin, into the passenger cabin. I love that. Plus, I think they're. I sound like I'm doing a commercial for AirTran. I love their employees. I love their. Their crew. So.
Well, I just wanted to make sure you knew.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Thanks a lot, George.
I'm still terrified of flying, so I don't fly. But.
No, I understand that. I spent a lot of years being terrified of flying until I talked with a listener from Santa Fe who was a long distance pilot. He flew the Trans-Pacific flight. To Australia, to New Zealand, to various points way out in the Pacific, and he just made it very clear to me that airplanes love to fly. Plus, I'll tell you, I found a new website. It's all about turbulence because turbulence drives me crazy. I'll be flying. And the plane will start to bounce a little bit, and I'm immediately looking for the parachute that's not there, of course. But there's a website, and it's called Turbulence. This guy who is a nervous flyer like you, like me, and it's called TurbulenceForecast.com. TurbulenceForecast.com. And if you go to this website on the day you're going to fly, you can see where the turbulence is. And if it's not in your flight path, you can just kick back and relax. Don't be afraid to fly. I mean, that's easy to say, but don't be afraid to fly.
But that isn't why I called.
Oh, damn. All right.
I want, all your listeners are wondering, well, how could these criminals be at every post throughout our entire government in just 6 measly years?
6 years, right.
And you know what? There's a lady. She's in her grave right now. Yeah. But she's desperately trying to tell everybody why.
From the grave?
From the grave.
And oh, my God.
But her name is Madeline Brown. Google it.
All right, hold on. Hold on a second. I got a break here, George. Hold on. I did all the talking, so hold on until we come back after the break. We'll talk about Madeline Brown. From the grave. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Every place I go, I'll think of you. Every song I sing, well, I'll sing for you. When I come home, I'll bring your friendship ring.
Conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour, we're talking with George, who has called in from Denver, about Madeline Brown, a video. Now, George, people ought to know that Madeline Brown was, the girlfriend or the mistress of LBJ, who died about 5 years ago, who said that LBJ and H.L. Hunt were the ones behind the assassination of Kennedy. At least the planning of it, right?
Right. And did you know they had a son together, LBJ and Madeline Brown?
I did not.
And when LBJ died, her son decided he wanted a piece of the pie because his dad was the president. So he put in a claim for $10
million. Yeah.
And Lady Bird went after him, and mm-hmm. she screwed with his military records, gave him a dishonorable discharge, and really screwed him. And then he died of cancer.
Uh-huh. Kind of like the way Jack Ruby died.
Well, probably. But Madeline Brown was so mad at what they did to him that she sat in her backyard for 80 minutes and she told everything. And I mean everything.
Yeah, she gave an interview, right?
And basically she said, well, there was a big party the day before Kennedy got it. And LBJ was there, Nixon was there, George H. Bush was there. And when they came out of the meeting, LBJ went up to her and said, them SOBs, Kennedys, won't screw with me again after tomorrow.
Right. Now, let me ask you, do you believe all this?
100%. In fact, if you look at it, these are the same criminals back then that we have today, and it joins everything together. Look, we had Vietnam, which was a lie.
Yeah.
You know, the Gulf of Tonkin was nothing but a big lie.
Right.
And did you know that LBJ was just about to be indicted for taking kickbacks from the agricultural industry?
No.
And there were four people that were going to testify against him. And when he became president, he rushed there to stop that investigation. And then these four guys ended up killing themselves.
Oh, my God. I just want to go someplace and pull the covers over my head.
But these guys have had 50 years to plan everything. And they are criminals and murderers. And we need to stop them. But I think if people understand this Madeline Brown thing, it'll help them. Understand how far back. This doesn't go back to 2000. This goes back to 1963.
Yeah. All right.
But I love you, Mike Malloy.
Thanks, George. Thanks for starting out with the value jet thing, too. All right. Thanks, George. I don't know what to believe anymore. So here's what I do. Here's what I do. This stuff about LBJ keeps coming up, and I don't have any reason to doubt it any more than I have a reason to believe it. It's all just astonishingly complex to me. Any government that will do what the government of the United States has done over the course of its history will do anything because it's already done anything. So nothing surprises me, Democrat or Republican. And I think that's probably a defining characteristic of power. So, but here's what I do when it becomes too much. Every night before we come to the studio, which is right here in our home, we put Molly to bed. Three stories up, we have kind of a. It's a pretty big house, and it has three or four stories. So we put Molly to bed up on the third story. And the way we do that, Kathy goes up and reads her a story. Fairy tale, some of the kid, you know, kid books, whatever. And then Kathy says goodnight to Molly, and then I go up and I tell her a story and I make something up. And it just works out real well for us. Kathy reads to her, I tell her a story. And at some point, while I'm telling her the story, we'll play the monster game. And the monster game is very simple. Molly brings it up. She'll say, do you hear a monster? And I'll say, I don't think so. And Molly will say, listen. And then we both hear a monster. So what do? We grab the blankets and pull it over our heads. And we lay under the blankets and giggle and laugh about the monster. Now, somehow, that's the way Molly has dealt with what every kid deals with. Monsters in the closet, monsters under the bed, monsters in the Oval Office, monsters running the military, whatever the case is. So we play this little game, and then eventually it just kind of winds down and she goes to sleep. And then Kathy and I begin the program. And what I envy about Molly's ability to play that game is she can put everything that bugs her, and believe me, when you're a three-year-old, things bug you, you know, starting with your parents. I think a three-year-old understands that her parents love her, but her parents are the ones that are always saying, no, don't do that, or yelling at her, or saying, stop it, you want to go to your room, you know, all the stuff that parents do. So here's Molly, who deals with all the ghosts and monsters in her life by very simply pulling the covers over her head. Now, when you pull the covers over your head, think back. When you pull the covers over your head, you're perfectly protected. Nothing can get you. Nothing. There's not a goblin or a monster or a beast that can penetrate the covers. You know that. We knew that. You knew that when you were a kid. I knew it when I was a kid. Even when we had the duck and cover drills, when we knew about nuclear bombs were going to turn us all into molecules floating off into space, we also knew that if we got under the covers, everything would be okay. But, you know, the older you get, the further removed from that you become. And it becomes just a childhood thing. Unless you have a three-year-old. Kid, grandkid, doesn't matter. Now, I would suggest to our listeners out there who are in their 20s and 30s and 40s who have their first three-year-old. I'm kind of the exception because I'm so old and I have a three-year-old. But if this is your first go-around, your second go-around with a three-year-old kid, and you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever, and you know, you feel that anxiety that we all feel most of the time, watch how your kid deals with it. Monsters! Ah! Under the cover. Total, complete protection. It's like Ronald Reagan's fantasy about the Strategic Defense Initiative, the shield over America, to protect us from everything bad that might be coming from the dirty, rotten, evil empire. Remember that? So that's all the covers are, is an SDI. It's a shield to keep the monsters out. All right? So when I hear about LBJ planning the assassination of JFK, and I know that Nixon was involved in it, and George Herbert Walker Bush, And H.L. Hunt and all these crazy, crazy people from Texas, I just pulled the covers over my head. What else are you going to do? All right, back to your phone calls. Prez is calling from San Francisco, listening on the Quake. Hey, Prez.
Hey, Mike, how you doing there?
Do you ever pull the cover? Do you ever pull the covers over your head?
I did the duck and cover.
You did the duck and cover. Yeah.
I remember walking home from sixth grade, seventh grade in Oklahoma, and there'd be a guy in the shopping center, the little strip mall.
Yeah.
He would be selling fallout shelters. And we would make him mad. We'd one of us would distract him. He'd guy climb down in there, and start messing with stuff, and he'd get all pissed off. But,
I'll bet he would.
No, but I was just thinking about, you know, you can throw the name Clint Murchison in there as well.
Uh-huh.
One of the Dallas oil men. See, Kennedy, one reason he got killed was he was going to let the Iraqis have more of their oil in 1961, and they just could not allow that.
Really?
British Petroleum had a limit on the oil they could pump, and I think it was like something like 10%. They could only sell that much of it to on their own market. They had to give the rest of it to the oil companies at a discounted price, you know.
Well, that's kind of what they're doing now.
Hey, how about that, huh?
With the Iraq oil law.
I got to hold on a second, Mike. I'm just totally shocked. Wait a minute. I'm almost speechless.
Yeah. But I
had another couple things to talk about.
Sure, sure.
But talking about LBJ and JFK, I mean, that was the beginning of my political education. And then when I joined the Marines in 66 and went to Vietnam, that kind of was a really good education right there. That was in about 3 years I spent in the military. That was about a 10-year education.
I'll bet it was.
And I wanted to say that there's a book called Official and Confidential, The Secret Life of J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah.
Written by the guy that wrote the book about Marilyn Monroe. I think his name is Anthony Summers.
Uh-huh.
And that is an amazing, it has it all in there.
Is it true that Marilyn Monroe and J. Edgar Hoover wore the same dress size?
Well, no. Actually, I think his was considerably larger.
I think
but
it was.
Roy Cohn.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
A sheath. I think it was kind of a sheath type affair.
I think
it was like the dress that Jack Lemmon wore in Some Like It Hot.
I think it was. Guess
but
what?
Considerably larger.
I've talked you out of time. We got to go.
Oh.
Thanks, Prez.
I had another couple thoughts about Edwards.
We'll catch you on the next go-around. Thanks, Prez. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
We're being led by some wise souls, determined to put the mark into democracy. The decisions they're making are much too big for you or me. So, facing the tide of negative news, liberal lies, left-leaning views that our enemies would spread.
It is 10 before the hour. Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program tonight and answered your calls at our flagship station in Phoenix, KPHX. Thanks also to our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. Billy Foster is a moderator at the NovamRadio.com chat room. And remember, XM satellite listeners can hear the second 2 hours of this program beginning Monday coming on Channel 167. And, of course, on Sirius, the Internet, and the stations that they carry the program. Our executive producer is Catherine Bay. Back to your phone calls. Karen is calling from Ventura, California, listening on the Internet. Hey, Karen.
Hi, Mike. It is Karen. And, my gosh, did I get an earful? The Madeleine Brown story, LB, all that. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I had some things I wanted to say to you, but I'm blown away by all that. But
I know.
First of all,
well, apparently, when you have time, check out the YouTube interview with it. It's at YouTube, Madeleine Brown, and just check it out. Somebody sent me a link. Mary sent me a link. It's probably worth just watching, just for the sheer hell of it.
I am going to do that.
Okay.
I definitely will. But you know, your house sounds wonderful, and having your 3-year-old under the covers. when monsters appear. That's what we all do as parents. But as adults, we have to face the monsters.
I know.
We have to do that. But I just wanted a synopsis of your show tonight. Number one, when Chuck called, I think he was the truck driver, and he said the tide will turn. He wanted to communicate with, you know, people in his circle. Excellent. And he said to do it with intelligence. He needs to know what he's talking about. That's what we can all do. Mm-hmm. Talk to people we know with intelligence. And then thank you so much, Wes Clark's statement. I went to that, and I sent it to everybody in my area that I know. I may be the only one, like you, standing on the corner, but I will be there with my sign that says enough.
I'm gonna do that, Karen. That just intrigues me enough that I'm gonna do it. I think it's a great idea, and I appreciate the information from our North Metro Atlanta correspondent Sharon, who's a big fan of Wesley Clark's, obviously. But we're gonna do that. We're gonna do that.
Why not? And the numbers will grow. We've done everything we can. We write letters. We've demonstrated in the streets in mass. But maybe simple signs like enough.
That's
enough. I hope so.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for the reminder that General Electric and NBC News are tied at the hip.
Yeah, they are.
And one last word, everybody, check out Gravel. Why not?
You know, we're gonna have he's gonna be a guest on this program. When, Kathy? Next week?
All right.
I think it's Wednesday coming. Mike Gravel is gonna be on this program.
Good.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Karen. Take care. Appreciate your call. David is calling from San Francisco, listening on the Quake. Hey, David.
Oh, hi, Mike. You know, I was interested in that last caller who had been talking about the LBJ ties to the JFK assassination. And there's a book about J. Edgar Hoover called Act of Treason. And it talks specifically about J. Edgar Hoover's role in the it was the Bobby Baker scandal that the guy was talking about. And it's kind of interesting because, as many people know, J. Edgar Hoover was blackmailing almost every politician in D.C.
Yes.
And so it was, if I remember right, it was like 1958, 2 years before the 1960 election, when LBJ started to get caught up in that Bobby Baker scandal. Bobby Baker was LBJ's bagman.
Right.
And so it was known, even though LBJ was a very powerful guy, I think he was the Speaker of the Senate, he was, or the Senate Majority Leader, he was very powerful in the Senate, and Kennedy knew he had to have his support in order to get elected, but he knew he was getting caught up in this Bobby Baker thing, so it was as if he was able to elevate Lyndon Johnson to Vice President in order to keep him sort of protected, but also to keep him under his thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And so J. Edgar Hoover was essentially walking his dog every morning with LBJ, and he was keeping him on a string about the Bobby Baker investigation, and he was able to keep John F. Kennedy kind of in a tight mode because he had the vice president in the squeeze. It was a very interesting thing, but this the convention he was talking about the night before Kennedy was assassinated, there was a Pepsi bottlers convention in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And J. Edgar Hoover was there, Lyndon Johnson, I'm trying to think. There were a whole bunch of different right-wing kooks that were there.
H.L. Hunt, I'm sure.
Yeah, they were all, it was all a very squirrely, and there were some History Channel programs about the assassination, and one of them did talk about that Pepsi convention. And, let's see, Richard Nixon's flight, he was taken off out of Dallas that morning. Of November 22nd, the very day he was in Dallas, the very day that Kennedy was killed, and for many years, it was almost 10 years before he even admitted that he was in Dallas that same day. He would always say he forgot where he was, and couldn't remember, and all of these sort of things. But it's a very squirrely thing. And if you look up Lyndon, if you look up George Bush and Parrot, P-A-R-R-O-T-T, there's a George Bush was actually trying to blackmail one of his Republican political enemies, essentially trying to crush him with some sort of machinations. There's an FBI file about George Bush Sr. and a guy named Parrott. He was trying to crush him by accusing he was involved in the assassination.
David, I'm going to have to ask you to pause here because we're out of time.
Hey, no trouble. Have a good night.
All right, sir. And I've got to go open a vein. No. It's time to get under the covers, right? I'll see you Monday night, y'all. Take care. Have a good weekend. Thanks for participating in the program, however you did that this week. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
I'm going straight.
Have a great weekend, Kevin, Kenny, wherever you are.